Amen. Well, this morning we are continuing in our series talking about a really famous guy in the Bible by the name of David, or King David, talking about a man after God's own heart. And this morning I want to talk to you specifically about having a strong faith. If you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, you have to have a strong faith. Not just faith, but a strong faith. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, if you've spent any time in the world, right, just in life in general, any time around people, working, having kids, you know that having faith can be difficult. And if you're going to survive with the Lord on your side, you need a strong faith. Now, I want to start this morning by reading. Actually, we'll read here in just a minute. Let's just get into it. I think oftentimes when we think of powerful leaders, we think of men like George Washington, right? He was a powerful leader, a man of war that led our nation, our nation's first military to victory and gaining our independence as a nation. In order to do that, to bring in military militia together for one common purpose that had never happened or worked together before, and to be liberated from the British, he had to be a strong and powerful leader. We also think of powerful leaders, We think of strong and powerful leaders like men like Bill Gates, right? He's a powerful man because of his wealth and his strong business sense, right? He was an innovator. He had a great idea for a computer, but more than that, he had the ability and the influence to build an entire business and empire. One of the most rich people in the world. He can buy whatever he wants. And we think, man, that is power. Such a powerful leader. But I don't believe that the most powerful leaders in the world are ones who have military prowess, have the most money, or even the best intellect like Elon Musk. I think that the most powerful leaders in the world have one commodity that is freely given to every human being, but few take the time to acknowledge it or understand it. And that commodity is faith. You see, people of faith are the most powerful leaders in the world because they recognize something that nobody else does, and it's this that sets them apart from anybody else, that despite the facts of the situation they are in, there is a God who can do the impossible. That's what a person of strong faith is like, that despite the facts of the situation, there is a God who can do the impossible. After all, this is what faith is all about. And the Apostle Paul understood this in the New Testament. The church in Philippi was very concerned about Paul. He was going through a lot of different things. His health was not the greatest at the time. He was in prison. His life seemed to be going in a downward spiral. But despite the facts of his situation, he knew that God could do the impossible. And he says this in Philippians 4:13. He says, I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's full with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And when we get to stories like David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, like David and Goliath, we can see the reason why David was a man after God's own heart. We can see why God rejected Saul as king and chose David to be the most powerful leader in Israel. You see, Saul had everything that the world deemed a powerful leader needed to have. He had stature. He was the king. He had wealth. He had the entire wealth of the nation in his control. He had military prestige. He was a great warrior in his own right. He had it all. But David had something even better than Saul did. David had faith in a God who could do the impossible. And that's where we're going to pick up this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 7, starting in verse 26. David is still a shepherd boy working for his father Jesse on the sheep ranch. And his brothers, his three older brothers, are out at war. And so what his father says is, hey, you take this 10 loaves of bread and some food, and you go and not just feed your brothers, but feed all of the men that are working with your brothers too, because we want to make sure that they're protected, right? Like, we want to make sure that the people that they're fighting alongside have full stomachs, they're ready to go, and they're thankful for these brothers whose dad keeps bringing them food, and they will protect them because they want to keep getting food, right? That's probably Jesse's thought. So David, he goes and he finds somebody else to watch the sheep for his dad. So he gets all of the bread and the food and he goes to the camp and he finds his brothers. But as he's going to walk through and find his brothers, he's hearing all of this chatter, right? Of different people of like, man, who's gonna go fight Goliath? I'm not gonna go fight Goliath. Have you seen that guy? 9 feet tall. That dude is huge. There's no way I'm gonna fight him. It's like, yeah, but King Saul said that whoever fights and defeats Goliath doesn't have to pay taxes for the rest of their life. And some of you are like, I'm in, right? But even the men were like, man, I don't know about that. Like, that's a pretty nice thing, but I don't know if I'm gonna go fight that guy. Have you seen that giant? Like, have you seen his spear? Did you know that Goliath's spear was the size of a 2x4, and it was 5 feet long. This is about, what, 2.5 feet long? His spear that he throws, it's huge. It has a 15-pound solid lethal weapon on the end of it, a bronze spearhead. It's like, you want me to go fight that guy? And then Saul says, well, hey, not only do you not have to pay taxes for a year, but you can marry my daughter. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. You can have her. And the men are like, I don't know. And David comes into camp and he's hearing everybody talk about all this stuff. And he's like, wait, what did Saul say you could get? And nobody is going to fight this guy? And David's like, why does he even have to offer this stuff? This guy, Goliath, he's talking bad about the God that we serve. That should be reason enough to go and to fight him. He was a man full of faith. He didn't care about the money. He didn't care about the status of marrying the king's daughter. He cared that somebody was putting down his God, was condemning his God, his faith, and saying, your God can't do anything. And that's what got David upset. He was a man of strong faith. And this is what it says starting in verse 26. It says, David asked the soldier standing nearby, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? And these men gave David the same reply. They said, yes, that is the reward for killing him, the money and the wealth and marrying the daughter. But when David's oldest brother Eliab heard David talking to the men, he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway? He demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. Attacking David's character. Well, what have I done now? David replied. I'm sure you guys can see the older brother, younger brother bickering, you know, this whole time. David's like, what are you talking about? What have I done? I was only asking a question. He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. And when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, he said, go ahead and may the Lord be with you. Basically, Saul is saying, I don't want anything to do with this. You go and die on your own dime. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. And David put it on and strapped the sword over it and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he never worn such things before. I can't go to war in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off, picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream, and put them into his shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, you've come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear, for this is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath and used it to kill him and cut off his head. What a story. My goodness. Maybe you've heard that story hundreds of times growing up. Maybe it's the first time that you have heard it. No matter how many times you've heard this story, it never gets old. That is just a crazy story. And like I said, you can see the reason why God rejected Saul and chose David to be the most powerful leader in Israel. David had something better than Saul ever could. He had faith in a God who could do the impossible. He could slay the giant. And I believe that God calls every believer to be a leader in some capacity. Now, that doesn't mean that every follower of Christ needs to be the boss in their business. Doesn't mean that they need to own the business. It doesn't mean that they have to be the primary leader in every situation of life. What it does mean is that there's some facet of life that God is calling you to lead in. Maybe God's calling you to lead in your family, to lead in your passion, or in a particular ministry in the church. We have leaders over kids and over nursery and over even cleaning in all of these different areas. Maybe God's calling you to lead a particular organization in our community. And I believe that God calls every believer to be a leader in some capacity because God knows that the best leaders are full of faith. This is exactly what David did on the battlefield. The entire nation of Israel was scared of Goliath. Right, he was 9 feet tall. He had the spear the size of a 2x4 with this 15-pound death trap on the end of it. Like, imagine this thing being hurled at your face. That's scary. Not even Saul, the powerful leader of Israel, with his stature, his wealth, and his prestige, thought that he could defeat Goliath. Otherwise, he would have gone and fought Goliath. But David did because his faith was in God and not himself. 1 Samuel 7:45 says, David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. As we know, David attacked Goliath with nothing but a sling and a stone and was able to defeat him, not because of his strength or his intellect or even because of the stone, but because of his faith in God. But how did David, a 15-year-old boy who's supposed to be working on the ranch get to the place where his faith and trust in God is so strong that he can go to war and defeat the giant, Goliath. Was this story just a situation of good old teenage stubbornness, right? Like he's probably, scholars estimate, between 13 and 15 years old. Okay, we just celebrated the eighth graders, right? Imagine one of them saying, yeah, I can take that guy. Dads, you guys know what I'm talking about. Your kid comes to you, I can take you. I did that to my dad all the time. Maybe it's just stubbornness, and he said, I can do it. Maybe it was pure lunacy. David is just crazy, and he got a stroke of luck and ended up winning. But maybe it's something more than that. Maybe it's because of his faith. And let me just say something real quick. Don't discount the faith of the teenagers in our church. Don't discount their faith because of their lack of experience, because of their age, or their lack of wisdom. Because we see right here that the Bible is chocked full of stories of teenagers like David doing incredible things for God. We believe in the next generation, and that's why we place a special emphasis on youth and on kids, because we want our youth students to understand that they may not have success the way that the world defines it, but if they have faith in Christ, nothing is impossible. So how did David get to a place where his faith and trust in God were so strong at 15 years old? I believe that there are two things that we can learn from, that we can have a strong faith no matter what we face in life, our faith will stay strong. First, David's faith was strong because he remembered what God had done before. And David's faith was strong because he used what he had. So David's faith was strong because he remembered what God had done before. If you remember, when David went to King Saul to tell him that he would fight Goliath, Saul initially dismissed him, right? He's like, yeah, that's crazy. You're dumb. Not going to happen. And like I said, David's around 15 years old. And I think the main reason why Saul was like, hey, it's not going to happen, is because David was 15 years old. In order to be in the Israelite army, God established way back in, I think it was Deuteronomy or Numbers, that the age to be in the army was 20 years old. So when a man became 20 years old, they immediately became part of the Israelite militia. And David was not old enough to actually fight. So Saul's like, hey, it's not going to happen. Besides that, Goliath was huge. But David's response to God was this, or to Saul was this: I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, then I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. Now, let me just stop for a second. I know we have a lot of ranchers in our church. We live in the Bighorn Mountains. Imagine if a mountain lion was coming after a calf or a lamb, and you go and you try to find that calf or a lamb, and the mountain lion turns on you. Are you going to grab it by the jaw and beat it with a stick? I don't think so. But David, at 15 years old, says, not only did I take the jaw of a lion and club it to death, but I did the same thing to a bear. That's a 15-year-old I don't want to mess with. That is crazy. And this is what he says. He says, I'll do the same thing to this pagan Philistine, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And look at this last verse. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. You see, David had faith to believe that he could do the impossible and defeat Goliath because he remembered all of the other times that the Lord had rescued him and helped him to succeed. You see, this is so important, that when you face difficult times and you're like, man, my faith is being tested. I don't know, God, if you're even real anymore. I don't know if you're in my life. I don't feel you. I don't see you working. I don't know where my faith is. Remember the times where God was there for you before. When I pray for people now who have broken bones, I remember the time when I was praying for a friend at the altar on a Sunday night, and I physically saw his broken bone finger reattach and the swelling completely dissipate. When I pray for people's knees who have bum knees, I remember the time that I tore my meniscus at 15 years old and needed to have surgery, but God instantly healed it. When I pray for people who've been diagnosed with cancer, I remember the time that I prayed from this spot right here for somebody watching online that I had no idea who they were to be healed from cancer. And Dana Luton's dad came to me 4 days later and said, I just went to the doctor. I am completely cancer-free. That message was for me. When I remember the times that God has done the impossible, it increases my faith in believing that he will do it again. God is not a one-time God. He does it again and again and again and again. This is what David understood at 15 years old, that if God could deliver me from the lion and the bear, he can deliver me from this different situation, but he can do that too. He can deliver me from the hand of the enemy. So I want to challenge you that when God does the impossible in your life, write it down. Remember it, share it with other people, and let it grow your faith into a strong faith, because you never know when you will need a stronger faith to slay the giant ahead. Remember what God has done before. And then if you want to build a strong faith, we can look at the second thing that David did, that David's faith was strong because he used what he had. He used what he had. Now, I don't want you to miss this, because you're like, well, Pastor Brandon, how does this apply to faith? It applies directly to faith. You see, so many times we look at what other people have and we think, well, man, God can't use me. I don't have the same spiritual gifts that that person has. God can't use me to preach the word because I can't speak like Pastor Brandon or like John Bean, who is here last week, who did a phenomenal job sharing. I'm not them. I can't go all the way to Slovakia. I don't have that ability in me. We think God can't use us because we don't have the financial resources that we need. Or, man, I don't have the personality, or I don't have the fill in the blank with whatever it is that you don't have. And I struggle with this often, even as a pastor. You see, I truly believe that the Lord has called our church to lead people closer to Jesus. But to lead people closer to Jesus intensely, the Bighorn Basin, and throughout the rest of the world. And one of the ways that I believe that the Lord is calling our church to help people connect with God, grow in their understanding, serve one another, and go into the world with the gospel is by planting more churches in the Bighorn Basin. And I often think to myself, God, how are you gonna do this? Right? Our church doesn't have the money to go and plant another church in Grable or Basin or Cali or wherever. But not only that, like, who's gonna go, right? Who's gonna pastor those churches? Who's gonna go to Burlington to lead and pastor that church? Who's gonna go to the Franny and Deaver area and pastor that church? Who's gonna go to Grable and pastor that church? Where are we gonna get the money? How are we gonna get the resources? What are we gonna do? And I think of all the things that I don't have. Don't have this. Don't have that. You know what the Holy Spirit told me? And this was just recently. This is exactly what the Holy Spirit told me. Brandon, I have everything that you need. And not only that, you have everything that you need. I've given you everything you need. You see, Saul tried to give David his sword and his armor. Saul said, hey, you're gonna need this. You don't have this stuff. Take it. But it didn't fit. It didn't work for David. It was too clunky. He didn't know how to use it. And it would have hindered David's effectiveness. You see, other people will come to you throughout your life and say, hey, you can't do this for God because of fill in the blank. Because you don't have the resources. Because you don't have the knowledge. Because you don't have the skill. Because you don't have the calling. You can't do this for God because of whatever reason. You don't have the confidence, the gifting, the whatever. But God has given you everything that you need. He's given you a sling and a stone. You don't need a sword. You don't need the armor. You need a sling and a stone. And when you have that and the faith in God to believe that he has equipped you to do the task at hand, everything will fall into place. You see, David's faith was strong because he used what he had, not what he thought he needed. The very last line of this story, let me read it to you. It's powerful. It says, "So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword." There's a reason why you don't have what you don't have. Because God knows what you need, and he has given you what you need. You don't need more money to take care of your family. Use what God has given you. You don't need a certain skill set or a talent to do what God has called you to do. Use what he's given you. You don't need a certain level of status or a particular relationship to become successful. Use what God has given you. And when you hear the story of David and Goliath, it seems like an impossible story. How on earth can David, a 15-year-old shepherd boy, kill a 9-foot-tall giant with a 2x4 spear? But David could do the impossible because his faith was in the one who could do the impossible. That's why he could do it. He remembered the times that God came through for him before, and he knew he had everything that he needed. So as we close this, will you just stand with me this morning? As we take a time, we just ask the Holy Spirit what he is speaking to us. This morning, you may be going through an impossible challenge. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're in a situation in your life, it feels like it is just a giant. I know there's things in Kenzie and I's lives that it's like, man, how are we going to defeat this? It seems like it has the potential to stop you in your tracks. Whatever challenge you are facing this morning, I believe in a God that can do the impossible. And if you need God to do the impossible, will you just, wherever you're at, just close your eyes and just lift one hand, two hands, both hands up to the Lord and just say, God, I need you to do the impossible. Let's ask him to come and increase our faith and do what only he can do. Holy Spirit, we just pray right now that you will come into this place with our hands lifted high saying, God, I need you to do the impossible. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not our own strength or our own power, God. It is you inside of us that gives us the ability to accomplish the task at hand. Lord, just like David went and fought Goliath with what he already had, I pray that you just give us clarity and insight and vision that whatever this impossible task and situation is, reveal to us the resources and the tools that you've already given us. Help us, Lord, to say, hey, here's what you have given, and here's how we need to best use it. And we believe in faith that when we sling that stone, our faith in you will do the impossible. Lord, I pray right now for those who they're thinking, man, I just have this impossible task of this financial issue. And if I just had more money, I could figure it out. God, I pray right now that you will just speak directly to our hearts and you will just say, hey, here is what I have given you. Now use it the way that I ask you to use it. David never thought he would use his sling and his stone to defeat Goliath. So help us to reshape our mind. And Lord, I pray right now that those of us that maybe we're not struggling with something, Lord, I pray that you will just increase our faith in this moment. Remind us of all the times that we've seen you do the impossible. Help us to remember the wonderful things that you've done. Just like Bart shared this morning, look what God did. I was supposed to lose my leg and I'm standing here worshiping Jesus even though it was supposed to be impossible. God, I pray that you just speak directly to our hearts. Do the impossible in our lives. Build a strong faith that no matter what comes our way, we can slay the giant before us because it is Christ who gives us strength. Thank you for your son. Thank you for your salvation and the blessings that it brings. Lord, may you bless us and keep us. May your face shine upon us. Be gracious in all we say and do until we gather here together again to worship you.